Good evening again. The first night that I was here, I talked a bit on the God's design for marriage, as we find in the book of Genesis. Then the next night, we talked about different types of marriage, the traditional marriage, or sometimes called the contractual marriage, and the modern marriage, sometimes called the consumer marriage, and the biblical marriage, or the covenant marriage. And so we're going to move on tonight to the topic of headship, submission, and leadership in marriage. Now, I didn't know whether to ask my wife to be here tonight or not, or to ask her to stay home, but she came, so I'm keeping that in mind. She said I could say anything I liked. But at least I'm not like Brian Foreman. He sent his wife off. So she's not here tonight. And so we can go ahead and deal with this topic, and Brian can tell her as much as he wants about what was said. Sometimes this topic can turn into a controversial topic, but I'm hoping that we'll just look at what the scripture says. You'll have a chance in the groups to disagree with what has been said, or to ask more questions about it, or to add some thoughts about it, because I'm certainly not going to cover the whole topic tonight on the topic of headship submission. But let's go to the Bible. This is really supposed to be biblical insight into marriage, and so we're going to use the Bible as our textbook. Ephesians 5:23. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. When you read that statement, there's not too much you can argue with. It's pretty unequivocal. The Bible tells us that the husband is the head of the wife. We all know that everybody has to have some head, and it doesn't work very well when you have two dual heads. So there has to be someone giving the direction, and in the Bible, the male figure, the husband, has been given that direction to be the leader. The real question here is, what does a godly Christian husband look like in terms of leadership? I think we can agree that headship really does imply leadership. Headship implies that there will be someone who gives direction, somebody who will manage, provides the oversight. So really what we are talking about right now, or what we need to talk about, is what is a head? What does he do? And the Bible supplies answers to that question. For example, in Judges 5:2, it says that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. The leaders took the lead. And so a head is called to take the lead. Now, there are husbands, I've met with husbands who would say, I am the head, but they don't want to take the lead. And so if they don't take the lead, this falls back on the wife. And then there are people who would say that wife's not fulfilling her proper role. But if the husband hasn't taken the lead, then somebody has to take it, or there'll be very poor management. Leaders protect from the enemy. Nehemiah 4:16. And this refers back to when the temple was being built, while half the servants actually were doing the construction work, the other half had spears ready to protect. But behind both groups, the leaders stood, the Bible tells us. They were there standing behind them, providing protection. The third characteristic of a leader, as mentioned in the Bible, leaders are characterized by humbleness. Luke 22 and 26. Leaders are characterized by humbleness. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. Let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. One who serves is going to be in a humble position. So a good leader is a humble person. Then there's leaders are accountable to God for their oversight. Hebrews 13 and 17. Every husband is accountable to God for how he oversees his wife and his family. So when you think about it, in some ways, being the leader is not the most enviable role. And that's why some people avoid it. But God has called us, those who are husbands, to not think of themselves as a boss, but as a servant to his wife. As a humble servant. As one who is willing to lead that family. One who is going to be accountable to God for how he leads it. And we shouldn't be surprised that God has appointed an overseer in the family. God often has appointed overseers in the Old Testament. I'll just give you a couple examples. Numbers 3:32, Eleazar the son of Aaron, the priest, was to be the chief over the chiefs of the Levites, to have oversight of those who kept guard over the sanctuary. So it's not surprising God in the Old Testament appointed overseers. Why would we not expect him to do the same in the New Testament? Acts 20:28, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. There are other examples, but I'm just giving these to show that the thought of having somebody over somebody else is a biblical thought. So if we apply that to the family, we would expect to see that somebody has been given the oversight in the family. Then how do these leaders, how are we to lead? We've looked at what kind of people we should be, but how is the husband to lead in the family? Well, again, God gives us some pictures of how the head or the leaders should lead. First picture is just an example of how the heads or the leaders lead in a church. 1 Peter 5, 2-3 says, be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So, leaders lead by being examples. And I've often said this, if my wife and I reach the point where we disagree on something, what should I do? Put down my fist and say, Joyce, I'm the boss. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible says you're to be an example. So supposing that my wife and I don't agree on something, what should I do? I should think maybe I have not been a good example. And I should go to the Lord about that. Because I am to lead by being a good example. If my example is not having demanding the respect or getting the respect that it should, let me look at my example, not at my wife. More so in applying it to the family in Genesis 18 and 19, this is God speaking about Abraham. It says, for I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. Once again, how does he lead his family? How does he lead his wife and the household? By doing what is right and just. So a husband needs to ask himself, am I doing what is right and just? Is that how I'm leading? So these are questions for us as husbands. It gives us some biblical insight into what God really meant when he said that the husband was to be the head of the home. Now we come to Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Well, this is another unequivocal statement, not too much to argue with here. But we need to look at what the submission really is. It's not a negative concept. It never is in the Bible. It's not a burdensome demand that God is making on the husband. If we think about submission, God the Son submitted to God the Father. Nothing negative about that, but God the Son submitted to God the Father. When you remember, he said, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's submission. John 8:28 says, "Jesus said to them, 'When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me.'" Just again showing you submission. Christ did not please himself. The Bible tells us in Romans 15:3. And then in Hebrews he mentions Jesus, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God," quoting an Old Testament. So submission is not really a negative thing in the Bible. In fact, it's a positive thing. God, Jesus, who was did not think it robbery to be equal with God, submitted to God the Father. So it's not a question of equality here at all. It's a question of fulfilling a role. And we notice from the Bible that we are all placed in roles which Scripture teaches us we should submit. For example, citizens to governments. Citizens submit to governments. Residents to police. It's not that the police and the resident are not equal, but they have different roles. And so the resident submits to the police. Employee to employer. Children to parents and teachers. And then wives to husbands. This is simply a role that God has given. So we all are expected to submit. In fact, in Ephesians 5, where we began at verse 22, I should note that this is the middle of a sentence. And so you need to go backwards in the chapter, which we'll do in a moment, but just back to verse 5:21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, the Christian should be characterized by submission. Our yieldingness should be known to all men. So we should go through life noted for being a submissive type of person, not always demanding our rights, not always wanting this and trying to put ourselves in positions above somebody else, but we should be noted as people who are willingly submitted. So irrespective of the domestic role, irrespective of career, social roles, we are called to live with humility and forbearance to each other. Now, when we look at it that way, we realize that asking the wife to be submissive to the husband is not asking her to do something that we all haven't been asked to do. We've all been asked to be submissive. Sometimes in counseling, I will say, well, let's look at what God expects of our individual character. Then let's look at what God expects within the marriage. And now that we've sort of laid out just what I've talked about right now, let's look at Ephesians 5. Because occasionally I meet, this is often a husband, who will say, well, my wife's not being submissive. And the Bible says in Ephesians 5:23 that I am the head of the house, so she should be submissive to me. So I often will say to them, let's not begin in the middle of a sentence, but go back to the beginning of the chapter. Paul laid out some requirements before we start to hold our spouses accountable for their roles. You can read these in Ephesians 5:22-23. I'm just going to read them over quickly. We are to be imitators of God. Now, what we need to ask ourselves, if I feel my spouse is not fulfilling her role, if it's the husband, he's the head of the house, as Christ loved the church. He's the head as Christ was head of the church. The wife is to be submissive to the husband. Now, if one spouse feels that the other is not fulfilling his or her role, we need to go back and say, well, before I start to hold my spouse accountable, I need to see what the requirements are to do that. So, for example, it says to be imitators of God. Husband, can you actually say that you are an imitator of God? You're to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. This is one of the requirements. You're to present yourself as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Sexual immorality is not to be named in your life. There's to be no filthiness, nor foolish talk or crude joking. Let there be thanksgiving. Let us walk as children of light. Try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Look carefully then how you walk, making the best use of the time. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks always and for everything to God, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Paul gave all of these things before he started to talk about submitting, before he started talking about husbands being head of the home or the wife submitting. So we need not just pick out these little verses in Scripture and say, this is what I'm going to hold on to in my marriage. We need to look at the overall picture, what God is asking us to do. You can't separate a scripture by itself. You need to put it in context. And so the context of husbands being head of the home and wives being submissive is put into the context of these things that I've just pointed out here. And as we struggle with issues in our marriage, we need to go back to this list of things and say, where am I falling down? Whether a husband or wife, if a wife feels that husband isn't loving her the way he should, where is she falling down? If a husband feels the wife is not being submissive, where is he falling down? Go through this list. Look at it carefully. And then use it to apply to yourself. In Matthew 7, 3-5, it says, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I'm always amazed at how individuals will take Scripture totally out of context, as if marriage was a subject all by itself in the Bible. But here it's set out so that before I'm going to be critical of my spouse, I need to search deeply. Is there a plank in my eye? Is there something wrong with me? And I believe that as we do these things, the question becomes one of, the question of headship and submission becomes a very minor. So I'm going to encourage you, take a good look at yourself before you become critical or before you start to lay out to your spouse what her role is or his role is. Now, my wife said that I could tell you about all the times that she has not been submissive to me, and so I'll begin. Sometimes in counseling, I'll say to a couple, read your own mail. And they always look at me, what are you talking about? So I say, here's the wife's mail. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That's the wife's mail. But for some reason, husbands like to read that. And then the husband's mail. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. My father used to tell the story of a man who went to his pastor and said, "My wife isn't being submissive." And the pastor said to him, "Well, go home and love her." So a few weeks later, the husband came back to the pastor and said, "She's still not being submissive." And the pastor said, "Well, go home and love her some more." So sometimes we expect all of these little problems in our marriage and issues and struggles and tensions to be resolved immediately. But it takes time for us to put into practice the things that God has called us to do. So I'm hoping that as you go into the groups tonight, you'll perhaps extend the topics a little bit. What you can think about this. What about the wife who's put in the position her husband is not leading? I didn't address that tonight. What about the husband who likes to be the boss but doesn't want to lead? We need to look at these topics as well. God has answers to every single marriage problem that exists in his word, if we will be obedient to it. I'm going to stop a little bit early tonight because next week I want to go a little bit longer. So I'll stop a little bit early tonight. I'll pray. Father, I thank you for marriage. And I thank you that you haven't left us to just have our own opinions about it. But you have given us some insight through your word. You've addressed the topic of marriage. You've addressed the topic of leadership and of submission. Lord, what we need are hearts open to doing your will. What we need are the desire within our family to fulfill the role that you have put us in and to fulfill it with faithfulness and constancy, consistently. So, Father, speak to us tonight. I don't know the situation of any marriage, of the marriages in this church, but I do know that you know as your eye looks down. And Father, I pray that you would take your word and convict if there needs to be conviction. Take your word and encourage if there needs to be encouragement. Take your word and challenge when there's a challenge needed. Father, I thank you that we can just turn to your word when we have issues and problems. So I pray these things and ask them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.